Welcome to One Moment Wiser. I'm your host, Christy Bridges, and my guests share personal stories and wisdom to help you understand yourself better, improve your relationships, and connect with your creator. Let's get started. Welcome to One Moment Wiser. This is Christy Bridges, and I've been away for a couple of days, but I have my friend Scott Taylor back again, because last time was so good that I was like, Scott, we got to keep doing this. So Scott and I were talking the other day about wrestling with God and about the way God transforms us as we engage with him, whatever that engagement looks like. So Scott, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
Would you just share a little bit about what you were telling me? Tell me about this Jacob experience.
Well, the Jacob experience that I had, I think, is pretty common with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't identify it as such. Maybe it's not recognizable in a way. But it really is a universal type of experience. And that experience is when we get to a place in life that a transformation takes place, where mm-hmm. something that has always been there changes. For me, it started with, I'd been in ministry, been married, family, all of this kind of thing. A critical event happened. And then I found myself out in this truck driving from coast to coast and everywhere, you know, like the Johnny Cash song, I've been everywhere.
Right.
And in the middle of that, I had this moment where it seemed like the Lord came into my truck and we had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was the kind of conversation similar to Jacob, in the sense of wrestling. So if I could real quickly just kind of point that out, that's in Genesis 32. Mm-hmm. And starts in verse 22. And it says, he arose that night and took his two wives, two females, 11 sons, crossed over the Jabbok, took them, sent them over to the other side. Then he was left alone. The cool part of that is that word alone in Hebrew is B-A-D, bad.
Really? That's the word for alone. Okay.
That's even how you pronounce it, is bad. Wow. With an extra emphasis on the D, bad.
That reminds me of Genesis, where God said it's not good for man to be alone.
Exactly. It's the same word. That same word alone that Jacob was alone is the same word that he used to describe the very first making of man. It's
wow.
Like, it's bad. Because everything up to that point had been good. The lights, the fish, the trees, the grass, everything was good, except for a man to be alone was bad.
Yep.
And
so here Jacob is, after working, 14 years for a wife, and then dealing with all this, you know, crafty in-laws, and finally taking his family and leaving, and they're going on to a new life, but now they're all on the other side of the river and he's sitting there alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And had a lot to process in that moment.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah.
The cool part of this is every Hebrew letter also has a picture that goes with it. It has meanings. It has several meanings, numbers, pictures, all these different things. So that word bad is made up of two letters. Mm-hmm. And the first letter is a house or a home.
Yeah.
And the second letter is a door. So to be alone is to step outside the family, step outside the home. It's like when you walk out the front door of your house, you can think, that's what it felt like for him to be alone. Everything that he had is his tribe. His family. And in fact, it starts off saying that. his wives, his kids, everybody, he sent them away. And now he was outside of his family. He was outside of his tribe.
And you know there had to have been times.
Yes.
When you're dealing with, you know, you end up married to two sisters who are jealous of each other and vying for your love, only because their father was so crafty that he thrust one of the sisters on you, and you end up with, you know, both of these women. And you know that, you know, with these people to take care of and all the kids to take care of and all the hard work, there were some times that he must have thought, whew, if I could just, you know, back in the younger days when I was just free, right?
Right.
But now when he's got that experience of being alone, that had to feel a little different. You tend to, you know, keep moving forward. And when you stop, all of a sudden, all your emotions and all your stuff just kind of like if you slam the brakes on that truck, everything goes poof, forward,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Go ahead and go forward. But this is a really good image in my head of where he was that moment.
Yes. It's like, I mean, that's what the movies, like Christmas movies, you're around family.
Yeah.
You know, and those are holidays that some people struggle with because they're alone.
Oh.
You know, that's why like football teams or baseball teams or whatever, tribes, you feel like you're part of that tribe and you brand yourself as part of that tribe so that you don't feel alone. And there's all these different coping mechanisms for being alone. But there's a hidden process in there if we can recognize it.
Yeah.
So being alone is very similar than it would be outside of the family, outside of the tribe, out that door. And so it would be similar to being in the desert, right?
Yeah.
So there's two words for desert. In the Old Testament has one word, and in the New Testament has another word. The Old Testament word for desert means a place to strip down, take away, to get rid of. In the New Testament, the word is where God speaks. And so that's why it's so important for us to get to this place. It's most of the time we're hesitant. You know, statistics go that one every three people suffer some kind of immense feeling of being alone or loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people. That's not America. That's a lot. That's the world. Yeah. A lot of people.
I think
that's
kind of an underlying natural state for people, but it doesn't always feel very good.
That's right.
Unless you learn how to process it. Yeah.
I know my son is a member of the military and was transferred over to like Korea someplace and was there for a year and missed everything, birthdays, Christmas, all that stuff, and felt very alone. And he and I had to have a lot of discussions because it can be a stripping down, which could be a devastating time. Yeah. Or if you combine it with the New Testament of not just a place of stripping down, but a place where God begins to speak, it can be a transformation type of place,
yeah,
a very transformative event in life.
And one thing that occurs to me here is you can be in a crowd and feel alone. You can be surrounded by family, even on the holiday when everybody's happy, and still carry this feeling of space, of aloneness. And something people can solve. It's something only God can solve.
Man, that is so true, Christy. And like you just said, even though you could be in the house full of people, it's like you're still standing outside the front door.
Yeah.
You're still not in the house of the family, of the tribe.
Yeah.
So the key to this then begins in the story where Jacob begins to wrestle with God. And he's wrestling what he thinks is something. I want to be blessed. I need you to bless. I want a blessing. I kind of want it my way. And God is like, no, you don't quite understand. I mean, we're going to wrestle, but we're going to do it my way. And he's like, no, we're doing it my way. No, we're doing it my way. No, we're doing it my way. In fact, even he gets to the point where he's like, okay, we're going to come right to the heart of this issue. What's your name? And he's like, man, wait a minute. Don't ask me that. Don't go. Because his name meant supplanter.
Yeah.
The way you supplant is by deceiving, manipulating, trickery.
Which had worked for him all his life. But I recognize it's not who you want to be thought of as, especially by a holy God, right?
Right. So then he comes back, and the supplanting part means to be in a position that's not yours.
Yeah.
It's to be in a way that's not your way. So it's like, here was God saying, I'll be God, you be Jacob. And Jacob was like, no, I'll be God. I'll do things my way. I mean, Frank Sinatra, baby, how can you go wrong with that?
Right.
I mean, there it is. It's like, hey, baby, you know, I did it my way, right?
Right. But our way is never as good. It doesn't get what we need to us. Jacob's taking the birthright, you know, manipulating his brother out of the birthright, had split his whole family up and made him kind of an exile. So.
And that's why God brings us to this place in our life.
Yeah.
Whether it was with me in a truck or somebody somewhere else alone, to be alone. To where he can strip down all the veneers, all the fake, all the pretending, all the other things that he can strip away. He can get to the core of, you're trying to do something only I can do.
Yeah.
You're trying to be somebody that I can only be through you.
Yeah.
You know? And then it happened. He said, my name is Jacob. And he came to that realization. He came to that place where he was honest with himself, where he's honest with between him and the Lord. He had a come to Jesus meeting.
Even before he knew Jesus. Yeah.
Man. And sometimes those are fun, but most of the time it's not, because, man, it's just, it's hard on the human heart to realize that they're broken, that they're needy, that they're desperate, that they are alone. And here was God immediately saying, okay, well then let's fix that. Let's change that to, instead of supplanting and you trying to do what you're not meant to do, trying to be who you're not meant to be, let's change that. I'm going to do that by changing your identity, changing your name. I'm going to change everything about how people recognize you. And that is, your name will now be Israel. Three words. The prince that has power with God. So now here he is. He's like, that's what he's wanted the whole time, was to be this place where he felt like he had some kind of, you know, could do what he wanted to do, but because he'd always tried to do it the wrong way, it never worked. And so it was like, okay, let's set this straight. And when we get our image of who we are in God, once we get that image right, once the mirror gets replaced with a new mirror and we can see clearly instead of the broken mirror that has all the fractured images, then we can begin to really become who we are and who we're meant to be. It's also important to note that how this all happened. Not only was he sent everything away and he was alone, but it's also taking place at midnight, in the dark hours. Because he said, you need to, the angel, the man, the angel that wrestled with him was like, we got to do this before the dawn breaks, before the day breaks, because, you know, I need to go. And as soon as it all happened, it says, and then the sun broke. You know, then it's like the sun came up.
Yeah.
You know, I recall like the movies, the Lord of the Ring movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the final battles, you know, and the guys from Rohan or whatever with all the horses, they come up over the ridge and they blow their horns and the army freezes. And they're like, oh no, what are we doing? And it's like, and the sun begins to break. You know, in the distance, you can see the sun from behind them. And it's like, man, isn't that such a great thing?
Yes.
Yeah, the terminology of it all, the picture that it paints is just a phenomenal thing.
I was talking to a runner yesterday who said she was told, and it has proven true for her, that when you run or walk when the sun is coming up, you have so much more energy throughout the day because we just respond to that rising, that enlightening.
Yes.
So what a cool image.
Even with the idea of wintertime that we've kind of gone through a little bit in Oklahoma.
Yeah, right?
A couple of weeks, maybe. But I mean,
I'm done with it. Let me tell you.
Like in Seattle, where it rains all the time, or far north, like Alaska or someplace up in there that, you know, the sun is gone for like 6 months. It's yep. Like, man, I don't know how you could mentally survive those kind of things. But even just right here in good old, you know, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. the sun shines. It's like people feel better. Mm-hmm. And it's an important thing. But the idea of that loneliness changes when we get connected to the Lord and the image, the proper image, the proper name, the proper identity that he wants us to have.
Yeah. Instead and that's a relationship thing too, because he had resisted and wrestled against God as though God were an adversary that he needed to tame. Yeah. And God is like, you know, I'm going to win. Hello, God, yeah. me, right?
Yeah.
And when he addressed him and said, you know, tell me your name. And Jacob was reminded that he, you know, we had that moment of feeling accused, possibly. Mm. It doesn't say that, but I can imagine. And then, you know, we do that with God so often. We feel like we have to manipulate him into, you know, if you love me, this is how this will work out. Let me tell you what, you know, the blessing should be. And then
the negotiation, the wrestling.
Right. Yeah. And then we feel like he's going to judge us for who we've been. And God's like, let's just pause here. Let me give you a new name. And that new name is, you know, basically you have power with me, through me.
Yes.
And that name has lasted centuries. I mean, you know, millennia.
It changed the nation. It's changed the world.
Oh, my goodness.
That's incredible stuff.
So you go forward, because I just get excited. I'm just like.
Well, I'm glad that, I feel like I started with the very beginning. This is such a universal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that you're diving right in this with me, because that's exactly what I hope that the people listening or hearing this feel, that same thing of even though you're in the house, when you step out the door, God can meet you there. He can meet you there, but you may have to go through a place where it's dark. You may have to go through a place where you feel alone, where it's bad. But it doesn't stop there.
Right.
And so I know that many years ago, I was involved in a group that we went through the process of counseling for people that were suicidal or committing, you know, right. And man, just the main part was listening to them, you know, hearing their story. And then being able to try to find points to connect. because so many people struggle with being alone.
But it's a feeling where, alone wherever.
Yeah. But it's a place where God can strip those things down so that he can speak to you. So we you and I just discussed this a minute ago. We see this in Genesis, where Jacob was changed, even his father, Abram, was changed to Abraham.
Yeah.
Jacob was changed to Israel. And then we see that in the New Testament with Simon being changed to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a promise. Yeah, Saul into Paul. Mm-hmm. And then we see that as a final thing in the book of Revelations, a promise to us that says we will receive a new name.
Yes.
And when, as you can tell, there's just so much wanting to come out of this because not only have I experienced it, but it's something that I know others are experiencing it. And if there's just one little thing that can help them get through this without as much pain and suffering or fear or insecurities, man, I would just, that's the message for today. You know, that message of reconciliation.
I want to hear more about your moment in the truck, but before I do, I want to pause and land on what you just said, because you just mentioned one of my all-time favorite, most encouraging verses. In Revelations 2:17, I wrote a chapter about this in Option Ocean. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. And to me, having grown up being called names in different places and having gotten older and actually adopted some of those in kind of a self-defense, self-destructive manner, knowing that God knows who I really am. And God is bringing forth who I really am as I continuously lean into him and he continues to sanctify and purify and transform me.
Yes.
Knowing that there will come a time when I'm standing there and he's going to give me that stone with my new name that really defines who he sees. That is so powerful for me and keeps me leaning into him and keeps me going back, going, you know, purify my heart, right?
Yeah.
So I want to hear about, go ahead and tell
us. I want to tap into that for just a second too, Christy, and then I will. So in Jacob, right, it gets transformed to Israel, which means prince that has power with God, right? Mm. A prince, that's a kingdom word. Yeah, that's a kingdom word. And what did Jesus come preaching? His first message in Mark, his first words in Matthew, the kingdom
of God.
And even in Revelations, I know that we're anticipating that day of receiving the stone with our name, but the kingdom of God is at hand. That kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is within us. And we can receive that new name now and start to live in that. It's not a name like Steve or Bob or Charlie. It means.
I don't know. I can be Charlie.
I mean, you know, who's good, right? Hey. No, that name means identity, a new identity. And that's what we're all, I mean, this world is a mean and nasty place, and it'll knock you down and keep you there if you let it.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's bad.
It can be. Yeah, it's alone, right?
Yeah, I mean, alone. So what happened with with me personally, and I was kind of wanting to avoid this because it's just not easy to do those things. But if this helps. So my name is Scott Anthony Taylor. And Anthony, a nickname for that is Tony. Mm-hmm. So my mom loved Tony Curtis at the time, you know, thought Tony Curtis was a cool guy. And so that's what she wanted to call me, was Tony. So I grew up most of my formative years and adult years as Tony. And man, it just opens the door, especially as a kid, for every kind of nickname you can imagine. And for some reason then, I grew up angry and mad and fighting and in trouble and all of those things. And it's like, I wonder why, you know, because somebody's bullying me and somebody's calling me names all the time. So it was like, you know, things had to change. And but going through the event that I went through and then becoming truck driver, there's a lot of legal paperwork involved in both.
Yeah.
And in that legal paperwork, I had to sign my legal name, which is Scott Anthony Taylor, Scott A. Taylor. And so I've been out on the truck then for like 6 months or so and just struggling. And man, when you're driving a truck, you really are alone.
All the stinking time. Yeah.
And even though you drive through really cool places and see really neat things, you don't share it with anybody. You don't have anybody to share it with. And, you know, marriage is that. Marriage is saying, I want to spend all my moments with you. I want to see all those good things, those bad things, those hard things, you know, the incredible things. But you have someone that can interact and identify with you all the time. And then when that stops, when that death comes, man, all of a sudden you're alone and you're outside the front door. You're outside the tribe. You're alone.
And beauty and happiness can even just remind you of that loneliness.
Oh, it makes it worse.
Yeah,
it makes it worse. Man, the song, Christmas song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, would just tear me up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't do it because it was just like, I'm not going to be home for Christmas. There's no more home. So, I mean, imagine, I can't imagine the pressure then, what it feels like to be a single mother.
Ooh, yeah.
Separated from the home of family, but trying to make a home for family, all the time just being alone. Man, prisoners, people in prison, they're separated from, they're totally, what's the worst form of punishment? Isolation.
And alone. People think that's going to be a good thing. Oh, let me get away from these people. But there have been studies that show it has actually long-term negative impact on our psyche.
Man.
Yeah.
So there I was in the truck and just alone.
Yeah.
And the Lord, like I said, came to me in that moment. And it wasn't, you know, there weren't bright lights or fireworks or anything like that. It was just, I knew he was there. And we had to start dealing with the supplanting part, trying to do things my way. I was pretty good at doing things my way. I had other people convinced that my way was the right way, that I'm the guy.
Yeah.
And man, it wasn't. It wasn't the right way. It was counterfeit. It was a counterfeit.
And God showed up right there.
He showed up. And he's like, all
Can't
right,
wait till you are perfect, Scott.
No, he didn't. In fact, he stripped away all the veneer that made me think I was. Yeah, because up to that, I pretty much felt like Paul, you know, or Saul.
Yeah.
Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, concerning the law, blameless.
Yeah. Well, you had done a lot with the right, you know, for the right reason, right? I want to be right. I want to be righteous. Yeah. I want to follow God. I want to spread his word.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get the wrong mindset in the process, right?
Yeah, I mean, a counterfeit can look pretty good. Yeah. It can look like the real thing, but it's not.
Right. And we have to be realigned.
Yeah.
Realigned. It's a kingdom of God because he's the king. And when we're in our right place, in that perspective, we can let him guide us. Let him actually lead us.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for today. If you're enjoying this interview, please share it with your friends and join us next week as we continue. Meanwhile, join me for 2-minute daily devotional videos Monday through Friday at onemomentwiser.com. That's the digit 1, momentwiser.com, or on social media at onemomentwiser. God bless you.